Speaking of the sun, if we look to our first passage of scripture together, we're going to look at Genesis 1, verse 1. And if you don't know where it is in the Bible, it's the very first verse, okay? So Genesis 1, verse 1. And I'm going to have a lot of scriptures today, so just get ready. Okay, Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Then in the same chapter, only a few verses later, we see this written in verse 6. And I'm going to allude to the King James Version for this one, okay? Only a few verses later, it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and let it divide the..." Oh, sorry, I read that again. "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And so it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. In the evening and the morning were the second day." The Bible is telling us from the beginning of time, God thought about heaven. And he created it for us. For the month of December, we've been studying on the topic, loving Jesus. Oh, it's still not there. Okay. To recap, Pastor Wes has talked about Jesus' amazing qualities. He's talked about how Jesus left heaven and came to earth as a little baby to live and to grow. And in the verse he used of scripture last week was to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And today we want to conclude this series about loving Jesus by talking about heaven. Yay. I want to talk to you about the hope that we have in Jesus, giving us everlasting life. I used to teach my kids, everlasting life. So I always refer to that, or eternal life, but everlasting life. That's how they remembered it. It's Jesus gave us that for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to lead you through scripture verses in the Bible so that we can see for ourselves this morning what heaven really is. And in our research, make sure that you know that when you walk out of the building today, you know for sure if you're going to heaven. It's an amazing place to go when we die. I've never been there. But I want you to know, if you join myself and many other Christians, it's going to be fantastic because I've read about it in here. So, buckle up. Come on, kids, buckle up. Get out your notes, get your Bibles out, because here we go. Heaven is a word, and heaven, oh, one more. Hold on. Sorry. Heaven is a word that has several meanings and connotations to it. First, we see it as an expanse above the earth. From it, we see birds flying, we see planes, we see helicopters, we see the sun, we see the moon, we see clouds and rain, and sometimes we even see snow. Second, we know it is a place where God lives. God spoke from heaven many times in the Old Testament, so the Jewish people naturally thought of heaven as where God abides. Third, heaven is used as another name for God. Sometimes in the Bible, it'll talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, and it's used interchangeably. And fourth, when time is no more, and we have a new heaven and a new earth, and the new heaven will be where God's presence will live. It talks about that in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. God provides a new heaven and a new earth for us so that any and all trace of sin is erased. And it was made for the faithful of Christ to dwell with him forever. Isn't that fantastic? So let's go there. Let's go to Revelations. Now we're going to the last book of the Bible. And this Bible is an old Bible. So here we go. Revelation 20, 21, verse 3 and 4. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. If you turn over in your Bibles, just wondering if I could hear the scriptures turning. Revelation chapter 22, verses 3-5. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light for the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. What that's saying is we will see his face. In the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, do you remember what it says? Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will," yes, they will see God. And the best one to recite is John 3:16. I kind of made you pull that one out from the archives, didn't I? To know why God did all of this for us. Let's hear the kids. For God so that he gave that whoever shall not but have eternal life, everlasting life. Yes. Thank you, God. And yet, heaven has been seen over the years in many different ways. Heaven has been seen as a place where the clouds start. But above them are angels with white sheets and a golden halo, and they walk around on the clouds, and people play the harps, right? Isn't that what heaven's all about? Okay. Well, let's go to the real definition. We'll go to Wikipedia. Wikipedia says heaven, or the heavens, is a common religious or transcendent place where beings such as gods, angels, spirits, saints are said to originate and be enthroned to live. Heaven is often described as a higher place, the holiest place, a paradise, in contrast to hell. Well, I found this very interesting comic about heaven. So take a look on the screen. Most of the new arrivals seem incapable of conversation. They just stare at their hands in despair. Why would they be staring at their hands? Landon. They have gaming systems or phones, but now they don't. What are they going to do in heaven? Very sad, but non-Christians who do not know about the hope that we have in Jesus' salvation, about eternal life, see, they often assume, now hear me, they often assume that heaven is a place where someone who is good or innocent that dies, they go there for the afterlife. But we cannot assume that. Because someone lived a good life, will they go to heaven? Will they automatically get eternal life? No. The Bible says in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, so if we confess, if we repent, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He takes all those sins away. And he forgets them as far as the east is from the west. This is how you get to heaven. You confess your sins, you turn to Jesus, and you live your life for him. That's how you get to heaven. Ever heard of the Roman road? Here's a few of the scriptures. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. For all, not just some, everyone For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So sin is death, but God's gift is Jesus, who came because everyone sinned. Everyone falls short. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, something that's going to die, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. Who's the word of God? Jesus. When it comes to getting into heaven, it's not what you've done. It's who you know. We need to shine light on the human tendency to rely on one's own good deeds for justification rather than the work of Jesus. See, Jesus came to bring us life, abundant life, and he came to restore the relationship that we were missing out on. You know, there are some songs on the radio that sing about heaven, but the connotation is more about a blissful state as in a sexual relationship. Here's one song out of many. Heaven by Bryan Adams. It reads like this. Baby, you're all that I want. When you're lying here in my arms, I'm finding it hard to believe we're in heaven. My kids are laughing at me right now. These words are not comparable to heaven. Heaven will be far better than that. Any kind of blissful state like that, heaven's going to be so much better. Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 to 3, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, or in some versions, many mansions. I like that version. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself, or take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What? We get to go to heaven. We get to be with him. As Christians, we know that it will be a peaceful place because we're going to know each other in heaven. He's preparing a place for each one of us who believes on him. And as Christians, we know that we have been promised eternal life. I'm going to hopefully show you a video. So we're just going to change things around. It's going to switch things. And I'm going to ask that you turn your eyes to the screen, praying that this works. And it's a little video that talks about heaven. Here it comes.
Of all the fears that grip our hearts, no fear is greater than the fear of death. There are those who will tell you that death is a natural part of life. But if death is just a part of life, then why does it cause us such anger and sorrow? When God created humanity, he intended for us to grow more and more beautiful over time. But in one tragic moment, we unleashed sin into the world, and everything broke, including our bodies. death is the ultimate consequence of sin, and it fills God's heart with anger and sorrow even more than it does ours, because death was not a part of God's original plan. The Bible says that when Jesus approached the tomb of his friend Lazarus, he quaked with rage and his eyes filled with tears. He was overwhelmed by the suffering caused by death, a curse we had brought upon ourselves. Death's curse was physical. Both the world and our bodies were decaying. But death's curse was also spiritual, eternally separating humanity from their Creator, the source of all light, love, and life. But because of God's amazing love, He chose to surrender all power and glory to rescue us from death. Jesus, God's only Son, was expelled from the presence of the Father and thrust into complete darkness in our place. He took humanity's curse upon Himself, breaking death's grip on us and purchasing humanity a place at the Father's side forever. A day is coming when the true King will return at last to restore the world to its full glory, and us with it, renewing both soul and body. You'll still be yourself, but even more so, you'll finally be the real you. On that day, we'll look at each other and say, "I always knew you could be like this. I saw glimpses of the real you, flashes of it, and now here you are." Our future is not an ethereal, impersonal one. You're not going to float through the clouds. You're going to walk. You're going to eat. You're going to laugh. You're going to hug. You're going to sing in realms and degrees of power and joy that you cannot now imagine. Some will tell you not to fear death because it's part of life. But Jesus says not to fear death because it's been defeated. And the day will come when Jesus embraces you with his nail-scarred hands and says, "Welcome home. I have so much to show you."
Amen. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you have your Bible. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you may not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." And fallen asleep in him is referring to believers who have already died. "According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." And Paul goes on to say these are encouraging words. And aren't they? We will be caught up with the Lord. To recap, the order of events are: the trumpet will sound. I thought of having Rod play his trumpet, but I thought that might wake a few of you up, so I thought I better not. The trumpet will sound. The dead will rise first to meet Christ in the sky. Now, those whom were dead that were Christians, they will rise to meet Christ in the sky. And then Christians who are still alive will rise to meet the Lord in the sky. And a Christian word that we use for this that's not being liked lately is called the rapture. The rapture. When Christ comes to get his people to be with them forever. I don't think you'll find the word the rapture in the Bible, but maybe you will. The believer's resurrected body will be like the Lord's own resurrected body. Therefore, as it was talking in the video, I'm going to recognize you. I'm going to be able to say, hey, Walda. Right? I'm going to be able to know who you are. Our body will be changed so that we can live on the new heaven and new earth. The body itself will be incorruptible. So our new bodies will not die. We will not have death. The body will not be able to be weakened or succumbed to disease. This is all good stuff this morning. I hope you're writing it down and getting it all. Well, we're going to turn now to 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to start at verse 21. And this is a great passage of scripture if you're wanting to know more about what's going to happen. Here we see Paul stating that if you deny that Christ rose from the dead, then there's no deliverance of sin. Which means that you deny the Christian faith altogether. If you don't believe that Christ rose, then there's no point. So verse 21, since death came through a man, and the man here meaning Adam, okay, and with Adam there was sin. So since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man who was resurrected from the dead. Jesus. So that's Christ. He came in bodily form, he grew, and then he was crucified, but then he rose on the third day. So, since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. So we needed a man to die who was sinless, blameless for all of our sins. Verse 24 and 25. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, all enemies under his feet. Just think about that disease, that enemy, that thing that makes you so mad, and it's under his feet. He ends this portion of scripture with the thoughts at verse 33 and 34. Do not be misled. Come back to your senses and stop sinning. It's a wake-up call. It's interesting how he throws in those thoughts to bring you to reality and show you a plumb line that you are not to cross. Stop sinning. Don't be misled. Come back to your senses. But Paul then goes on in this section to rhetorically ask some questions. So in verse 35, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? Verse 40, there are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. Verse 42, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown in is perishable, it is raised imperishable. When we come, when the trumpet sounds, it is raised with an imperishable. It'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I thought about that. What is a twinkling? Like you look at something and you, like it twinkles or like, you, like, but how fast is that, right? It's a glimpse. Let's skip to verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The perishable body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Meaning, there must be forgiveness of sins to enter into the kingdom of God to receive everlasting life. To get your imperishable body, you must go through Christ. Don't leave the building today unless you have gone through Christ. You must know him and live for him here on earth. A perishable body cannot go to heaven. Verse 51, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, I'm getting excited here. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Yes, help me preach it. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then what it said in Isaiah 25 verse 8 says comes true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. We talk about that at Easter time. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Well, we get it from the Old Testament in Isaiah, and that's what it means. Prophetically, what was written in the Old Testament is coming true. Verse 55, keep going. It quotes from Hosea 13, verse 14. Again, a prophetic word. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over death. And it's written here so as to believe. But also we can be assured that if we die before this happens, we have the hope that Jesus is coming back because he has power over death. Amen? Amen. He will not let us go and he will not forsake us. He is coming back for all of us who have asked Jesus into our hearts, who have asked for forgiveness of sins and have lived or will live for him from then on, from this day forward. Ooh, you'll be standing on my feet. That's pretty awesome preaching. That's God saying everlasting life, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Getting hot up here. All right. So for some of you, you love hymns. And I'm with you. I like to sing old hymns. And there's a hymn of the church that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day that's going to be. And let me just go here. This is verse 3. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the souls of life repay. Come on. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all Amen. That's prophecy. That's encouragement, saints. Let us be true and faithful. Let's trust and serve him every day. Because you know what? One glimpse. Everything that we face, any kind of persecution, any problems, any toils, any disease, any terrible job, any kids that are driving you nuts, or puppies that are driving us nuts, we just got a puppy, all of those things won't matter. Just one glimpse of him in glory. And we all get to heaven, it's going to be rejoicing, and we all see Jesus and we shout victory. You know, I've still got lots of scriptures to go, so buckle in. But no, I'm just kidding. I put that in, but we don't have time to go through these next scriptures, but I'm ready to preach. So, but I will say, this week, I'm giving you homework. So write it down. I check on my homework. Hebrews chapters 3 to 10. What? That much? That's a lot of reading. Yes. Hebrews chapter 3 to 10. Because the author encourages us that what Christ did was far superior to the old covenant. And as Hebrews 8 verse 6 says, it is founded on better promises. The evangelical commentary of the Bible suggests that in the old covenant, Israel's sins were always connected to broken relationship with God, namely unbelief and disobedience. That was what Israel sinned with, unbelief and disobedience. These are conceived to be the fundamental sins and root of every actual transgression. Think about it. Lying, stealing, cheating, indiscretion, like anything you can think of as a sin, the root is unbelief and disobedience. And he goes on to say that the sins for which Christ suffered punishment in his people's place are the sins that prevented Israel and anyone from sharing in the eternal inheritance. I don't want to believe in Jesus. I don't know who he is. I don't believe there's a God. Well, all of that is rooted in unbelief and disobedience. But by the payment of Christ's own life, he has delivered those whom God is calling to salvation from the guilt and the power of unbelief and disobedience, which alienates them from God because of Christ. By the payment of his own life, he delivered you and me. He delivered those who are out there who don't know about him yet, that we're going to tell about. Jesus paid it all on Calvary's cross so that relationship is restored and we can come boldly to his throne of grace and receive forgiveness and everlasting life. See, Jesus covered our sins, and so we can rejoice in this freedom, saints. And this is why sinners must come to Jesus to save them from their sins. This is why the world needs to hear the good news of Jesus. He wants none to perish, but that all would have everlasting life. And this is why we must fix our eyes on Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 3, one more portion of scripture. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. See to it. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end, to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I'm going to call the worship team up. I go back to reading this scripture again, and as I read it, I want you to think about, what did Israel do that they didn't get the inheritance? They had unbelief and disobedience. And then with that, they had guilt and shame and powerlessness. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other, as long as it's today, that you don't have a hardened heart. Sin is deceitful. It lies, it kills, it destroys. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. At the beginning of this sermon, I told you that I wanted to lead you through scripture verses to show you what heaven really is. And to make sure that you know that when you walk out of this building today, you know for sure if you're going to go to heaven. 2020 is about to start, and I hope you're ready for it. God's ready to help you, and he's ready to pour into a relationship if you're ready too. Because a relationship takes two people. Give and receive, right? So if I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart, what do I need to do? Well, I need to, what's called, repent. I need to confess. I need to say, Jesus, I've done some bad things in my life. I'm not proud of it. But I need you. I need you to have a relationship with me. And when God hears that, the restoration has happened. It's already begun. If you confess your sins, He is faithful to forgive them. We read that this morning. He's faithful to forgive them. Well, what if I become a Christian and then I sin again? Well, guess what? Confess your sins again, because He's faithful to forgive you. No one's perfect. Well, how many times do I have to ask Jesus into my heart? Well, you can ask Him tons of times, but are you living for Him? Because if I'm living for Him, I'm living out my faith. I'm saying, I'm going to try my very best to read my Bible and do what God wants me to do. And as I do, maybe I stumble and fall. I do something of an old habit that is sinful. Well, Jesus, I'm going to come back to you and say, I need that relationship restored, Jesus. And He restores it. And then I try hard. And sometimes that thing that causes me to stumble or causes me to sin or have problems with, I have to keep praying about it. And I have to keep giving it back to God because it's hard. It's very hard. And there's things that you struggle with that I don't, but there's stuff that I struggle with that maybe you don't. And God's made us all unique. The thing is, each time you take a step towards Jesus, He takes a step towards you. Right? Each time you learn to listen for His voice and read your scripture and know more about who He is, He comes and He draws near to you. And I might take a step back because I sin, but then I come back to Him and He says, come to me. And I keep going. As I worship, as I raise my hands, as I learn to speak out for Him, I keep taking those steps and I keep getting a closer and closer relationship with Him because He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So today, I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you, do you know that if you went out to the parking lot, something happened and you died? Are you going to heaven? Because if you don't know that, I really want you to have that relationship with Jesus today. And you know what? You can raise your hand. Don't worry about it. You can raise your hand and know that Jesus is going to see it. And the person beside you, if they're a Christian, they're going to come and they're going to walk beside you and they're going to help you. And they're going to talk with you. So if you need Jesus today, would you raise your hand? Awesome. I got a sister right here. I got a brother back there. I need people. Keep your hands raised. There's somebody else. Come on, Christians. There's a lady right there. There's a man right there and they want Jesus. I need some Christians to come around them and talk to them. I got one person, Vic, awesome. Who else is going to stand with Vic? And I got Elias right there, awesome. Anybody else? Do you know that if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven? It's not to scare you, but it's to tell you the truth about what's going on right now. Because this is most important right now. So if you don't have somebody that you're praying with right now, if you feel that you have a good relationship with Jesus, then saints, you need to be praying right now for the people who just raised their hand. Let's turn this place into a prayer room. Close your eyes and just begin to pray for that person. Put your hand up and pray for that person. Ask God to help them and to give them peace. and to thank him for this relationship has now been restored. This is a good thing. Pray for blessing. Pray for strength. Pray for their week, that as they go, that God will help them and that they will see God's hand in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if there's anybody else, just raise your hands. We want to take time for you. Kids, this includes you. You're here for a reason today. If there's anybody who's not sure about heaven, this is your way to find out. That's right. Pray, church. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. Lord, let them hear your voice today. Let them know you today. And Lord, as they confess their sins and they make a relationship with you, we are so blessed to be a part of that today, God. We are so blessed. 2019 will not be the same. You have made a way for not just one, but several today. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you that we have heaven. We thank you, Lord, that we have a relationship that as we walk here on earth, you are there with us. You are there to help us to keep going. You are there to guide us and show us that way. And you are there for us in the loneliest and the most vulnerable of times. We have someone to lean on and be with, oh God. So as people just begin to finish praying, and you know what, if you're one who put your hand up, I want to talk to you. So please come forward and talk to me at the end of the service. But just before 2019 ends, and I know I'm doing this without telling our prayer team, but that's okay, because we need other Christians to rise up and pray. There are a few people who are here who are going through a really tough time. If you're going through a really tough time, know that Jesus cares, and we want to pray for you. Can you just stand where you are? And I know also there are people who have some diseases, and they need healing this morning. We want to pray for them too, or pray on their behalf. Come, I know there's more of you that have, you're going through a hard time, or you need healing in your body. Just stand to your feet. So church, this is your time to rise up. There are people that need someone to stand with them during these hard times right now. Evelyn's husband John is in the hospital. Please come forward and pray with her. John needs someone to pray with over here. There's a sister right here. Come on, folks, stand up. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we find out who's hurting and who needs our prayers and who needs our help and uplifting. Seaford and Wilma have a son, and he's in stage 4 cancer, and he needs God. He needs Jesus to do a miracle. Find that person and pray. And if you feel too shy, then you know what? Put your hands forward towards a person and pray for them in Jesus' name. Kids, you're here for a reason today. You pray too. You pray and ask Jesus to touch these people who are standing, who need a touch from Jesus today. Pray that God will touch them and help them and heal them and make them whole and guide them and help them and give them strength and heal them of all their diseases.